is up, everybody, and welcome to the tailgate. This is Tailgate Talks, and we are recording on a Wednesday night. It is April 2nd. We are already in April. March has passed us, and sadly for the Red Raiders, it's now March sadness. That's this episode. It's a little bit of happy, but then a lot of sad as the Red Raiders end their March run in the Elite Eight to the hands of the Florida Gators. We had some fun along the way. It's been a fun season, and so we'll get into the Sweet 16 game. We'll get into the Elite Eight game, and then we'll kind of tie up the season in what was a fun, successful year two for Grant McCaslin. So lots of basketball to discuss today. So let's go.
Get your guns up, Red Raider Nation. Let's go.
All right, Dustin. Well, the Texas Tech Red Raiders basketball season has officially come to an end at the hands of the Florida Gators this past Saturday in the Elite Eight. It was a fun run. There was a lot of positivity at the end of that game. Felt like you were that close to punching a ticket to San Antonio in the Final Four. And then the Florida Gators made some shots, and you end up on the wrong side of it. It was kind of the tale of two games in this one. You did the same thing to Arkansas kind of in the Sweet 16. Florida flips the script on you in the Elite Eight, and your season comes to an end. Before we dive into the Arkansas and Florida games specifically, just kind of where are you at right now, a couple days removed from one of the most heartbreaking losses Texas Tech basketball has suffered?
Yeah, I mean, overall, like, big bummer coming off that loss and that kind of loss that you just laid out. Still like getting over that. Probably won't get over it for another like week because there's more games to play this weekend. We got to watch Florida at least one more time and think about how we could be there and be in San Antonio. And, you know, I kept trying to hype up a Tech Houston champ game a lot this weekend. I thought it was in the cards, but I guess it's not. But yeah. I mean, still really good season, great season to build on for Grant McCaslin in year two when was left with a kind of crumbling program and culture 2 years ago and quickly turns it around with some great transfers, some guys sticking around after a couple years, and it's blossomed into something good. I think he has a great reputation now of what kind of coach he is to build on, and I think that's what we have to feel good about now, especially with a roster up in the air, with how free agency basically happens every year now. We've talked about it for years. Guys are 1 years, but yeah, bummer for now in a couple weeks, but very hopeful for the future with Grant McCaslin and Buffington and that crew.
Yeah, it's one of those, like, obviously really sad that season, you know, comes to an end. Yeah. There's a lot of guys that you just really loved watching play, and you know that's the last time you're going to get to see him, specifically Chance McMillan, who's become a Red Raider favorite amongst a lot of fans who've got to watch him these last 2 years, who, you know, guts out of just an amazing performance against Florida and was there actually a real key contributor in a game where you thought you're maybe just going to get 10 minutes of him or something. He ends up being, you know, just that fight and Kerwin Walton, who's been here through thick and thin and the longest tenured Red Raider after 3 years. And you just see him, you know, start the game with a couple threes. So Elijah Hawkins comes in, sets the, you know, assist record for a season at Tech. Just a lot of guys that were easy to root for. And, you know, of course the other players who have opportunities to come back. And so we're not really sure about their status yet, but I know once we know more, maybe we can kind of discuss them a little bit further. But, you know, it's always sad when the season comes to an end. This one just hurts because you knew you were right there. You were right on the cusp of achieving something that, you know, the school's only achieved once before. But, you know, like you were saying, you also can't help but feel hopeful because this is year two of the McCaslin era, and there you are fighting on the doorsteps of making a Final Four. When, like you said, just 3 seasons ago in Mark Adams' second year, the train was off the rails, and it didn't look like any it was going to be this quick of a recovery to where you're like right back in the thick of it. And so that goes to show like where this program's at, where it's set in college basketball right now as a program that's kind of here for the long term, that it looks like, with NIL and the support that this program has. Like, you can definitely see this program continuing to trend in the right direction, especially with Grant McCaslin at the helm. So sad to see the season end, but a lot of good things for the season. So let's go ahead and shift our focus to the games that were played over the weekend. Sweet 16 versus Arkansas. That game was a Thursday night, so early on the weekend. This one was a roller coaster of a game. It was, well, really, it was just one long roller coaster, build up, and then drop at the end, because it was really Arkansas throughout the most of this game up until like the final, really like 9 minutes, you're down by 16. 4 minutes, you're down by 11. It really never felt like Tech was in this game until all of a sudden at the end, it's a tie game and you're going to overtime. And then you pull it out, you pull off the 85-83 victory in a shocking kind of fashion. But kind of take us through this game, Dustin, as the Red Raiders just kind of got punked through the majority of this game and then somehow found themselves winning this one in the end.
Yeah, you played a really bad 35-ish minutes of a game and really put it together with the last five, and then got it to overtime and had another good five to finish it. But, yeah, Arkansas had this in their hand. They were by far the better team all game that Thursday night. Their length really did bother you at the guard position, especially without Chance out there. And so the announcers definitely let us know about that as well. They loved Arkansas's length all game, but you couldn't hit shots. Hawkins had a tough time playing against longer guards as well, a little bit, made some careless passes early on.
Couldn't make a shot.
Couldn't make a shot. And yeah, I mean, he was really not good till overtime. Honestly, Darren Williams couldn't make much until that last few minutes as well. And so I don't know what got into us finally. I don't know if there was a coaching point or a timeout or one of the players said something, but like, I don't know what happened to make that switch. 'Cause we were, like you just mentioned, in the double digits, we were hanging around like the 12 point margin for a long, long time. And it was looking very out of reach for us. And luckily, like I said, down the stretch, down those last like 3 minutes, you were really putting it together. And Arkansas took some not good shots as well. Yeah, you rebounded the ball and got it up and made your buckets in the end. Yeah, it's crazy, crazy turnaround. We had kind of already conceded not winning that game, and it was a good run for the season, but they pulled it out in a very cardiac style at the end there.
Yeah, well, like you said, Jonell Davis made a layup with like 4 minutes left to go up 13, and at that point it's just like there's no hope. Like, I think you had got it down to 7, and then they built it back up and you're like, all right, like that's the nail in the coffin right there, and kind of like toasted, good season. And then all right, made a couple shots, Christian Anderson finally knocks down a couple threes, and all of a sudden, bang, you're right back in the game.
Yeah.
With a chance. And like you said, Arkansas took some real, had some real bad possessions at the end. Didn't seem like they had any offensive game plan. It was a lot of just jacking up bad shots.
Yeah.
They had one possession. I remember rewatching it. They get an offensive rebound and the dude just immediately, and there's under 4 minutes left here, and the dude just immediately jacks up a deep three. And
he's,
you're
not
like
a good shooter. Anyways.
And he wasn't a good shooter. And you had the, you just got the ball back. You could have killed another 20 seconds. And instead, like you know, you rush that shot, we get a rebound, we get to build momentum. And there's just a lot of fight in this team. And it was really, you know, there's a very lit after this game because just the fight and the resilience that they showed. And of course, McCaslin at the end kept saying, you know, we were in, we knew we were going to win this game. We just, every time out, we're going to win this game. We're going to win this game. is how Arkansas has played all season. They're very streaky, and you could see that in this game. They looked unbeatable for a while, and then at the end, just epic collapse. All of a sudden, we're the team that's starting to take control, and Darian Williams is doing his thing. JT Thompson's doing his thing. We're getting offensive rebounds. Two guys I want to shout out here specifically, you know, Toppin, D5, and Christian Anderson lead you in scoring with Toppin 20, D5 20. Christian Anderson had a great game, 22 points. Yes. But the two guys off the bench were kind of the MVPs in this game for you. Kevin Overton, who early in the game when nobody was making shots, it seemed like Arkansas was about to run you out the gym, hit a couple threes, had a couple baskets, keeps you within striking distance of this game. And if you don't have that first half performance from him, this game probably blows open to like a 20-point lead or something because you just couldn't get any scoring. What were your thoughts on Kevin Overton, who had some pretty nice moments in this tournament, I thought, specifically in this Arkansas game?
Yeah, he had a good tournament, like you said, and really blew up for us in that Arkansas game. I thought he was the only one giving effort in the late first half and early second half. More like over the top effort to hustle plays to defense. Try to get us back into this. Yeah. Defense made some shots. Yeah, he was incredible. I was giving him the most props at the beginning in that halftime because he looked like the only one playing and trying to win at that point, make the comeback.
And then the second guy on that list is Federico, who had like 6 rebounds in one possession, if you look at it in totality, because he gets offensive rebound, he gets fouled on the putback, go in, he misses a free throw, we get a rebound, he ends up getting like 4 more offensive rebounds on that possession with the finish. And sure, it ends up only being like a 3-point possession, but at that point of the game, you needed something. And he was kind of the guy who was out there fighting for extra possessions, and ends up with 7 points, 9 rebounds. He was a key factor, and it was those two guys hustling, making plays that, you know, just getting the ball and showing that fight that I think ends up leading to this comeback. Your thoughts on Fetty 2 times there?
Yeah, Fetty had some incredible offensive rebounding plays, and you wouldn't think that with the Arkansas's length that the announcers were letting us know about. but, yeah, 4 or 5 in one possession is ridiculous. I mean, that's sometimes more than people get in 1 or 2 games at that point. And we've talked all year about that's his, like, main job on this team is get offensive rebounds. That's why we got him. That's why we wanted him in the beginning. And, like, to see it really come through. And, like, that possession you just laid out when he got fouled and he got 4 or 5 offensive rebounds, we were still down, like, 11 at that point. Mm-hmm. Like, that wasn't, like, a get-over-the-hump type play, but it might have helped be a big catalyst to wake up everybody else and, all right, let's get on Kevin Overton and Fetty's back and join the party.
Yeah, you can't help but want to, like, fight for that guy when you just see him out there doing everything he can to give you a chance in a very bleak situation. So just wanted to shout out those two guys because you definitely don't move on without their fight in this game. And so one of the interesting things, he had 22 offensive rebounds in this game, which is like cool stat, but also I was like, man, we were shooting terribly in this game.
You also missed a lot.
Waiting for us to make a shot, and it just never seemed like you were going to be able to make it. And then, you know, the freshman Christian Anderson comes through clutch, hits 3 threes at the end of the game. You know, 3 big ones to keep you in this one. And then, of course, Darian Williams, who had been terrible from 3, ends up hitting the game tying 3, gets you to overtime. And, you know, at the end, who are you going to? D5. You get in the ball. He goes, does his back down play, and gets himself a bucket. You get the stop on the defense, and you're moving on to the Elite Eight. So just kind of like your thoughts on making it to the Elite Eight and that joy that we felt that, you know, gets taken away on Saturday, but, you know, it was a pretty joyous night Thursday and all day Friday getting to, you know, kind of relive this victory, which will kind of stand out to me as the victory of the season with right up there with Houston.
Yeah, by far. I mean, it was the most improbable win.
Yeah.
I mean, Houston game, you were in it the whole time, even though you didn't have Toppin and Grant, but you weren't even in this game. Shouldn't have won it by a long shot, and you somehow pull it out. Yeah, I mean, like you said, it's like only making one Final Four in our program's history. You don't have many Elite Eights either.
Yeah.
And
this is your third.
Like, it's big to put that banner up and be able to show guys, hey, we can do it from Texas Tech. You don't have to go to a bigger basketball school or under a different coach. You can do it here with Grant McCaslin and with this coaching staff. Trust in us and what we're doing. Like, that's amazing to build on. I mean, this is going to go down as one of the better Tech teams we've ever had. It's up there.
Yeah, this team, third team to ever make the Elite Eight. It's like the second different group of guys, because those teams back-to-back made it. You know, this is completely different group of guys. Right. You know, sure, you know, we lost Keenan and stuff for that run, but we had key members of that run that made it to the Elite Eight who had that taste. These guys haven't had that taste before of making that run, and you haven't had that taste with this coaching staff. You know, your only tournament experience, you got outed in the first round. And so, it was a huge accomplishment to get this win in the way that you did, the execution that you did, and get to live to see this team fight another day, which you move on to the Elite Eight, where you played the Florida Gators, the one seed in your region. What was, has been a chalky tournament. Seemed like it's all gone chalk since. All the one seeds have made it. You were the one team when watching the Elite Eight after Tech lost. I didn't watch any more games. I've been basketball depressed. But from seeing the scores, you were the only team that really gave a one seed a run for their money. When you look at the end of it and you look at the final score and you watch this game, you should have been in the Final Four. And I think that's what hurts when you look at this one, an 84-79 win for Florida. It kind of did the opposite of what you did in the Arkansas game. You had a 10-point lead, a little under 4 minutes left. I think you're 3 minutes or so left in the game. You had a 9-point lead. And then execution down the stretch, Florida made a bunch of tough shots. They made every three they put up there down the stretch. And you missed a couple front end of one-on-ones, couldn't make some key buckets when you needed to extend the lead. And ultimately, some heroics by Walter Clayton, takes over, and you're just not able to match, and Florida overcomes what looked like a pretty difficult deficit to overcome thanks to some shot making and your inability to do so. And you got to look at this one and you got to be thinking. That's why, like, all the Final Four stuff makes me jealous, because Texas Tech should be on those banners, on those signs. We should be getting ready to head to San Antonio. But you couldn't make free throws. Toppin goes 0-for-5 from the free throw line in this game. Yikes. Brutal. Darian Williams, who's having a great game, a great tournament, steps up with the 1-and-1, front ends the 1-and-1. And you think if you make those free throws, it just makes it harder. Florida has to make more shots. Maybe they do. Maybe it didn't matter at the end, but can't help but think if those free throws go in, the Red Raiders are on to the Final Four. What are your feelings now, a few days removed, specifically about this Florida game and the loss?
Yeah, sticking with the free throws, it's like I was telling someone at work yesterday, and it's like, no, those free throws don't win you the game, but in those clutch moments, especially those ones late, just put so much more pressure on Florida and changes what they have to do or how many they have to go make. Because at that point, it was kind of snowballing in Florida's favor. They were kind of making and getting everything. They were putting you at the line, and you were just bricking stuff. And the snowball just kept continuing, and you couldn't stop it there towards the end. I mean, credit to Florida. They went on an 18-4 run to end that game to come back and win it. Like I said, Walter Clayton made some really good shots. The one where he just backpedals and then jacks up a three was ridiculous. That's one of those you can't do anything about. That's just a good player making a really freaking good play. Because that's a terrible type of shot, like backpedaling almost.
And he didn't. They didn't need it. They were, they were just down by two. It wasn't a desperate. Yeah, you didn't need a three.
But yeah, he was feeling kind of cautious. That's also what hurts is you had that in your hands and literally just didn't make free throws to keep the pressure on or advance or make them early to change some momentum, like you said, with Toppin there. And so, yeah, it's kind of frustrating that, you know, Florida does to you that you did to Arkansas. But I wouldn't change that if we had to lose the Arkansas game and not get a chance, because
yeah,
Arkansas probably would have got blown out, you know. But, yeah, so close, so close. I'm glad Chance got to play in this one and played well. Looked like a pretty normal Chance game.
14 points, like right at his average, 2 threes. Got maybe to the rim. Maybe a little
less in the minutes, but okay.
Yeah. Yeah, you could tell he was a little rusty early on. Some shots, you know, he looked a little uncomfortable to shoot, but kind of once he got into the rhythm of the game, you know, he was able to knock down some threes before he get to the basket. Just kind of be the usual Chance that you've come to expect. 26 minutes from him when you're kind of just thinking maybe 10, 15. And that's just the kind of the guy that, you know, that's why I was emotional at the end, is like, man, you know, that you got to say goodbye to this guy who just put it all on the line. And, you know, I thought McCaslin was great at the end of the game, talking about Chance and just kind of what he represents. And so, that's kind of what just makes this one tough. It's just, you know, you make JT makes, you know, I'm not asking you to make both of those free throws, but you make the front end of the 1-1, both, you know, him and D5, like you're extending this game by an extra possession, you know. You had a 9-point lead, but all Florida had to do was make three threes. And yeah, you're not expecting them to do that, but they did. But if you make one of those free throws, that's an extra possession that you're up. You make two of those free throws, you're making them have to make an extra basket. And maybe they're approaching their possessions a little bit differently because time's getting time's running out. You know, each possession that you're up by feels a little bit larger. And so maybe they rush into some of those shots. Maybe they panic a little bit more. And so that's the frustrating part on this one for me, is just you had it. You looked like the better team in this game. You were dominating. Yeah. And just to have it kind of thrown away, it leaves you sick. It's just that sick kind of feeling. Anything else specifically from this game you want to talk? I don't want to linger on it too much because it just makes me sad.
Angry. I'm done talking about it as well.
Yeah, I didn't want to have to look at it all again, but then I was like, oh shit, we have a podcast, we have to talk about it. If they relook at this game. So we're going to move on from that. The season is over for the Red Raiders. A great season had by this Texas Tech team. Great second season of the Grant McCaslin era. A lot of high moments from this team. A lot of things are remembered. Just kind of what are your end of season thoughts as we wrap up the 2024-2025 season?
Yeah, I know I'm still bummed about it, but this was my expectations all year. I thought we were a second weekend team and then see what happens. Once we got really rolling in the Big 12 play, I was more set on, I think we're an Elite Eight team with how good we are at shooting people out of the gym or playing you down low. We can grind out every game. We're not ever getting blown out. Still didn't get blown out in any games this year.
Yeah.
And I think it was a huge success of a season. You've kind of mentioned and hinted at, I wish we could have some more time with some of these guys. Maybe like another season or two. But it was a very well put together team like we expected. Took them a couple months to really figure that out. I mean, we've come a long way since UCF on New Year's Eve, being down 18 points to them at home that afternoon. I mean, you mentioned earlier, Elijah Hawkins, I knew he'd set the single season record, but watching him do it was really fun. I mean, he's so good. Just having that ball on a string, you know, going through guys, through the lane, back out, kicks it, finds who he needs to, alley-oops to Fetty, you know, the back down games of Darian Toppin were incredible and difficult to match up with. And so it's so well put together and fun to watch all of them play together. It seemed like they liked playing with each other.
Yeah.
You don't always get that. You kind of get some teams that, all right, they're kind of good, but they're a little – disjointed, I guess you could say.
Yeah, you got guys stat chasing just, or just trying playing. To, yeah.
Yeah. You know, I felt that way after a couple of those, after some of our later Chris Beard or first year Mark Adams teams. Like,
yeah.
Some guys were just there, but we weren't playing together type deals, you know. So amazing, amazing season. Great to build on, and you had some incredible players playing together, and that was a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, unselfish is, you know, the real word, like, on this team. It's just a bunch of guys who wanted to play for each other, and that was McCaslin and this whole team sentiment the entire season. It was like, we play for each other. We don't play for our stats. We don't care who's the leading scorer. We want to win, and that's how, you know, he put this team together. He found guys who wanted to win, who all wanted to be good, but they wanted to be good so they could win. And that was a very important thing, and that's what you saw. You know, yeah, we both had this team as a second weekend team. I think we both saw Elite Eight. And, you know, as the season went on, you saw Final Four possibilities, but you saw the other teams out there in the country that you're like, damn, the top four teams, like it has gone to play out, are really damn good. It's like the best four one seeds.
You literally ever. Have four of the best yeah. 10 teams ever in KenPom.
We would be a typical we would be a typical like one seed in past years is like what our performance was would like rate on like a one seed, and we are a three seed. The one seeds, all four of the one seeds were higher than just about any other one seed except for like UConn a couple years ago where they were you know amazing, that Gonzaga team that went undefeated. Like, so there's some teams in there, but all four of them are up there. So it's like you knew there was a mountain to climb to beat one of those. So that you were down there at the end competing and had a chance, it just really says a lot about this team, the fight and the players and just how this roster was put together. We saw the pieces looked great when you put it together. Like, man, you got a guy like Toppin down low. You got shooters outside. You got a guy like Darian Williams who can do just a little bit of everything. You got rebounding presence and lob threat and Fetty. And you got Kevin Overton coming off the bench. And you got Christian Anderson, this freshman who, you know, is getting raved on, and it all just came together so well, and this team just believed in each other, never got down on each other, even though fans might have at certain points in the season. But maybe that's one of the things we're learning here with Grant McCaslin. Takes a little bit for this it to cook. You got to remember there's a lot of new guys on these rosters. It's not just a whole lot of continuity. You got to figure out how to play each other. And once conference plays have really started the last two seasons, you've really seen these teams kind of take off, and this one specifically really took off. And so proud of this team, proud of these guys, loved watching them, loved every minute of it, loved the wins at Houston, getting another win at Kansas, making the Elite Eight this year, just a lot of fun times had. And so with that, we tie off the end of this season. Pour one out for it. It was a hell of fun. We'll be living in these moments for a while, but now it's time to quickly shift our focus to the off season, where the off season has already been going for other teams because a transfer portal, some reason, opens up like right after the first round of the NCAA tournament for no fucking reason. And so there's not a whole lot of stuff that we know just yet. Of course, our season's only been done for a few days, so. There's obviously the process of, you know, talking to the players, evaluating the players that are currently on the roster, figuring out what they're going to do. And also, you know, transfer portal has hundreds of new players in it every single day.
Thousands.
So, there's not really anything super clear on the players that were, so we're not going to dive into that stuff yet. We'll wait until there's more clarity on the players who are visiting, the players we're focused on, but just kind of what are your thoughts on the off season ahead and kind of what are you looking for?
Well, and also you're going to hit a dead period, I think, that starts Thursday
tomorrow.
And lasts for another week. So, like,
yeah.
You can talk to guys, but no visits can happen during that week and a half. So, hitting that dead period right now anyways. Last year you had a lot of departures, and you're getting criticized for it a little bit. But us that really knew that team and those players – we were not worried about who was departing the team.
Yeah. I think there was a little bit of sadness with Pop just because Pop started here, but it was also like, well, if we can find more efficient players, yeah, that'll be good. Or if a chance can just be Pop, take Pop shots, that'll be better.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I think now, when Grant has a little more of a handle on this team and the culture type deal, this is also why you have a guy like Kellen Buffington running your GM, because you're still playing while the portal opens up.
Yeah.
So he's got to do like some double duty work these last few weeks, and who he's looking at. And it's the Wild West out there. I mean, there's thousands of guys in the portal. Some have already committed.
Apparently April 7th is like the deadline. Like, you got to get committed before the house ruling changes things to rev share. So I don't know why, right. I don't know exactly how that works, but apparently that's a big deadline. So I mean, that's why a lot of kids are committing really quick.
Yeah. And who knows what really happens to that, but we got some big decisions on if some guys are going to leave or stay. Really, the only thing you know you got to do is go get more guards.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're losing three guards that played quite a bit for you this year. So guard heavy, maybe another big or two. It's a bummer going through like losing such a good Elite Eight game and having to turn around and watch the portal on Twitter.
Yeah.
Because like last week, I didn't care what the portal was doing. I'm still playing basketball.
Yeah.
Now I got to think about, all right, who's out there? Where are they going? Are we interested? And kind of lastly is, you know, you're going to have to be patient with Grant and Buffington and how they pick their players.
Mm-hmm.
Because they take their time and they try to go get the right guys that are also good at basketball.
They have a lot of criteria.
They have some good criteria. He's done a great job with his transfer so far in 2 years. And I have all the trust in them and that crew and how they pick their guys. It'll just be interesting how many guys we got to put together. We don't know that yet.
Yeah, it's an interesting process, and I trust the staff fully, and I think a lot of people just want us to, all right, where's the commits at? But yeah, like you said, they're methodical at how they do this stuff. It's not just good basketball players. If it was just good basketball players, maybe Grado Sabor would have been here, and maybe we wouldn't have the season that we had. But it's like, no, identifying players who want to be good but want to contribute to winning, and you found the right pieces the last 2 years, and so I'm going to trust them. I think what makes it interesting is just you have a lot of you don't knows. What's Darian Williams going to do? What's JT Toppin going to do? You think Toppin's going to go pro, but I mean,
I already have a thought about that because I've looked at things and he's a early second rounder.
Yeah.
Darian's a middle to late second rounder. I don't know that that's enough for either of them to leave.
I don't personally, I'm trying to be as unbiased as I can because I would love, love, love for both of them to come back. That's the pipe dream here would be, you know, and maybe there's, you know, getting so close and having that taste and realizing what this team can accomplish with those two guys and Christian Anderson back. Maybe that's enough. And NIL, we're still going to be fine on NIL because we'll get rev share. We'll get a good amount of that, but we'll still have NIL money we can put to this, so we're still going to be able to pay what these guys probably look at. And if I look at top end or if I'm D5, I could probably make more money here at Tech next year, go play to maybe win a national championship, and then maybe from there develop a few more traits that NBA guys are going to want to look at and set that's yourself up better. That's what I personally think. And yeah, sure, there's a lot of bias in there because I want him back, but I really look at Toppin's game, and I don't know how that works in the NBA. If you watch the NBA, it's not post ups. If you watch Darian too, it's not backing guys down and posting guys up. It's shooting threes quickly, and it's not get it to Toppin at the block and see what he can do. Yeah. Nobody does that anymore. That's not an NBA thing. And those guys are much bigger in the NBA. And sure, he's pumped bigger dudes than him, but
yeah. While we're on this tangent, I mean, I know us, our group in our like section or our row of basketball, we have kind of been on this all year. Like, we love Toppin as a guy and as a player, but I don't see that as NBA right now, just yet. I think it's rough around the edges type deal, and I think there's potential there for sure. But I mean, when you can't turn left and go with your right hand as the second year college basketball player, I don't think that translates to the NBA.
Yeah, I just don't either. I don't see him, and he's a little undersized. What is he? You know, he's a 6'9" guy who's like, what, you know, in the NBA, that's like a small forward, you know. Ooh. Like, that's kind of what they're looking for, you know. A stretch four is kind of what you want in that position. You don't want a guy whose real game is just backing down guys like that. They don't do that. And so I just don't know how it translates. And, you know, he had a great season, and scouts are going to be watching that, and he's going to have some people in his ear. I think his game is meant for college. There's a lot of great college players that just never make it in the NBA because their game's built more towards college basketball. And I kind of think that's topping right now until he proves otherwise. And maybe he can, maybe he goes and has a great combine and ends up getting drafted and has a great career. And I want that for him more than anything. It'd be fantastic for Texas Tech to have that, but I just don't think it's there yet. And so, like, for me, it's just like, man, throw these guys as much money as you can. Bring the boys back. If you're starting with Christian Anderson, D5, and Toppin, and I think you got Fetty back for a year because of the JUCO rule. Like, and Kevin Overton, if you can keep him, that's like five really good pieces from an Elite Eight team. And now you just go, all right, we need a point guard, we need another Chance McMillan, and we need maybe another three and D type, and maybe one more big, and you go from there. Of course, you got that freshman coming in for you next year, that might be that big for you. So I don't know. We'll see. We'll see how this kind of plays out. It's a long off season. It's just beginning. And as we said, this staff takes their time. So, you know, just there's people out there with sources. Don't freak out just yet.
Don't believe that Grant's going to A&M or whatever.
Yeah. I get it. We're all going to be a little nervous until they hire somebody, just because that's the way it is. But personally, once again, biased here as a Tech fan, but I don't know why you'd go to A&M basketball. Like, that's like their third sport there. Maybe not even their third, maybe like their fourth. They don't have that basketball support, and maybe they're trying to get it there, but you have a pretty damn good setup here. And we know from the Beard time, like, it wasn't about salary with Beard. Like, if that's what it is for Grant, we're going to be able to match salary or money or whatever A&M's going to try to throw if they do go that way. But hopefully they don't. Hopefully we don't have to go through another year of coaching scare. But any other basketball thoughts you got before we move on?
No, man.
Well, that'll do it for our Texas Tech basketball talks this week. And really for the season, unless, you know, we've got off-season news and stuff, we'll of course be back to discuss commits, people who hit the portal, and all of that news as it comes across the timeline. We'll be there to talk about that. Before we dip out for the week, what's your final shot for us?
Yeah, just two quick ones. Baseball season for MLB has started, and Josh Young is already hurt for the Texas Rangers.
Yeah.
So that sucks.
It just happens every year, feels like.
Oh, man, sucks. And then, I don't know if you saw this news earlier today. Melo's going to the Hall of Fame.
All right. I did not see that because I haven't been on Twitter in a minute, but cool.
First ballot Hall of Famer, basically like the headline of the class type deal.
That makes me feel old.
Yeah. I mean, he's only been retired, I think, like 3 or 4 years officially. But, I mean, dude was a straight-up hooper. That's for damn sure. I mean, top 10 in scoring all time. Was one of the best to ever do that part of basketball. I did see a funny stat today. He has, since 20 – oh, I don't know what year that was. Whenever Embiid got drafted, Carmelo has played more games than Joel Embiid has up to now. Melo has been retired for 4 years.
That's crazy. Damn. Well, shout out to Melo on that. I thought you were going to go with the torpedo bats.
Oh, yeah, get those in there. Those are taking off, literally.
The torpedo bats. The Yankees, you know, had the What was the tweet that we saw? How it was termed to move the wood in the bat, and we're like, what the fuck does that mean? Yeah. Like, move the wood? But, you know, they put the more wood.
Very illegal. Yeah. They're just shaving it differently. Just
shaving the wood to where the more wood in the part of the bat that connects with the ball, and the Yankees hit like 9 bombs in one game.
Makes sense.
So that's crazy. Yeah, baseball season's going. Not going well for the Red Raider baseball team again, but I will take this moment to shout out the baseball team, the softball team that I will be paying attention to. I will not be paying attention there to Texas go. Tech baseball, but the Lady Raiders, Red Raiders softball team is in first in the Big 12 conference right now. They've just been cruising through Big 12 play. They got a sweep over Kansas over the weekend. So, yeah, like we said, I think last week, if you need to get your baseball fix in and the Red Raiders aren't doing it for you, move on over to the softball and watch what they're doing. Yeah. You got the best pitcher in the country just dominating these Big 12 teams. And so you're sitting atop the Big 12 conference. So these ladies are going to be battling it out for a conference title, which is, you know, we love conference titles around here. So gear up for that. But yeah, that'll do it for us this week. March sadness for us here as the Red Raiders season comes to an end. But we look forward to what Grant and company are building here in the future of Texas Tech basketball. And we'll be here to discuss everything that happens this offseason. But this weekend, you know, enjoy the Final Four. Watch the games. 4-1 seeds in the Final Four in San Antonio.
Should be
we've
great.
We've got Lubbock on Cork this weekend, so we're going to go drink some wine. So enjoy your weekends, enjoy your weekend tailgates, and as always, we will catch y'all at the next tailgate.